Well, welcome to week two of our new series that we're calling Dreams and Visions. We're talking about how God still speaks to common everyday people like you and me through dreams and visions. You don't have to be a religious patriarch or a great hero of the Bible or even a living saint. God wants to communicate with you. And as we said last week, he speaks most reliably through the Bible, which is why we should read it frequently, if not every day. And he transmits wisdom most authentically through church teaching, which is why we should try to understand it and to trust it. But God also wants to communicate through supernatural wonders, like dreams that you might experience while you're sleeping, and visions that typically happen during the day. And God does this more often than you might think. And so, during this series, we're looking at what these divine messages are, why God sends them, and what we can do to open ourselves more fully to receive them. And we kicked off the series last week by looking at three different types of visions recognized by Catholic spiritual theology. The first type include apparitions that have a tangibly physical dimension. The person experiencing them actually sees the vision with his or her own eyes or some other sense, as if they were seeing or experiencing a common everyday object, an ordinary object. These visions are the rarest, but they do occur. The second type occur in the mind's eye, the eye of the mind, or the imagination. That doesn't mean that they're figments of the imagination. In fact, they are very real when given to us by God. The third type of vision is the most common, is by far the most common, and these visions are called intellectual visions. They are marked by highly intuitive experiences that are associated with intense feelings or emotions like love, joy, peace, or light that seem to come out of nowhere and just take over the soul at unexpected moments. Now, there are many different reasons that God sends us dreams and visions to communicate with us. One of those reasons is to impart knowledge and wisdom. That's what we talked about last week with the story of King Solomon's dream. It's also why last week we asked you to start paying attention to your dreams that occur at night and any kind of visions that you, vision type experiences that you might have during the day. They happen more often than you think. Write them down. Pray about them. Ask God to tell you what he's trying to tell you through these dreams and visions, if you have them. And we also asked you last week to consider joining our new 4-week small group experience on the power of Christian mysticism. We're going to be looking at some fascinating stories from the lives of the saints and their divine encounters, and we're going to talk about how we, you and I, can start to relate to God and the world around us through the eyes of a mystic. It's not too late to sign up for that small group. It starts this Wednesday at 6 o'clock. There's a Zoom option, or you can join us in the hall. We just ask that you pre-register if you can, if you're able to, especially so we can get you the Zoom link. So head on over to our website at sthillary.org, and you can get all the information there. But there are also other reasons that God sends dreams and visions to us, other than just to impart knowledge and wisdom. Another reason that God sends dreams and visions is to strengthen our faith and courage, especially during times of fear and weakness. That's what God did for a man named Gideon in the Old Testament. See, Gideon had a problem. God asked him to lead the charge, to lead the Israelite people in battle against one of their most formidable enemies, the evil Midianites. But Gideon's problem was that he was afraid. They were so outmatched, he didn't think they could win. So God sent a dream about, and this is fascinating, this is what I love about the Bible, you cannot make this stuff up, sent them a dream about a huge loaf of barley bread tumbling into the camp of the Midianites and destroying it. And when Gideon heard about this dream, he knew they could win with God's help, and he plucked up his courage, and they ended up prevailing. So that's another reason God sends dreams and visions. A third reason is to answer questions that we might have and to respond to requests in prayers that have not yet been answered. A fourth reason that God sends dreams and visions is to correct our behavior. To correct our behavior. The Bible says that in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men as they slumber in their bed, God opens the ears of men as a warning to them, terrifying them by turning them away from evil. Again, another reason God sends dreams and visions. But the reason I want to talk with you tonight about, or this afternoon about, is yet another reason that God sends dreams and visions, and that is to reveal the future to us. You know, more and more, modern medical science is beginning to recognize the validity of a phenomenon called precognitive dreams. Have you ever heard of this? These are dreams that people have, ordinary people have, that sort of tell them about what's going to happen in the future, and then it happens. The research is still in its infancy, but several studies have found that somewhere between 1/3 and 1/2 of all survey respondents reported having one of these dreams, where they dreamed about an event or an occurrence and it later happened. One of the most famous instances of this is Abraham Lincoln, who dreamed about his own assassination that happened 2 weeks after the dream. Skeptics, of course, chalk this up to selective recall or the conscious association of unrelated events in our mind that would have happened anyway, or our fears and worries about disasters and tragedies that commonly occur, or even just coincidence. But when we see these dreams and visions with the eyes of faith, we can begin to recognize when God is speaking to us and even revealing the future to us through dreams and visions. When I was in my early 20s, I had a vision that revealed the future to me. I was in Switzerland, and I was accompanying my mom, who had just was recently widowed. And I had a lot of time on my hands on that trip because she checked herself into one of those Swiss health clinics, you know, where you get a week of rejuvenation or whatever, massage therapy and all this stuff. So I had a lot of time on my hands, and it was on this in this beautiful place called Montreux, Switzerland. You can see a picture of it here. It is a very, very beautiful place with bright colors lining the vibrant promenade and the Swiss Alps standing there majestically in the background, standing guard. I mean, it was very spectacularly beautiful. And so one day, I decided to take a quiet hike along a trail that I had seen on maps. It started off along a riverbank and on its way to the 7,000 feet peak of the Rochers de Ney, which are mountains that overlook Montreux. Well, pretty soon I'm in deep forests, and then the path kind of meandered between these forests and then these charming, charming little patches of farmland, which you knew you were coming upon them because you could hear the tinkling bells that were worn on the necks of the famous Holstein Friesian cows that you can see here, very famous. Yeah, there's a family here who just got back from living a year in Switzerland. I bet they saw these cows somewhere on their journey. It's a very beautiful place. But after a while, I stumbled across this vast meadow on a hillside. And I got to tell you, I don't know what happened there exactly. It's hard to put into words. But all of a sudden, the vivid colors of the wildflowers just exploded before me, and it felt like I was being transported to somewhere else. Like I was there and not there at the same time. Now, don't worry, I'm not crazy. I've been checked out. I'm okay. but that's what it felt like. And the scenery just became kind of like technicolor. And I almost felt like I wasn't even in my own body anymore. And that's when the vision happened. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, I saw myself walking among the flowers, and I was wearing long robes and carrying a shepherd's crook. And the flowers somehow became people, beautiful people, like you. And instantly, the meaning of the vision was clear to me. You see, I had been praying about whether God was calling me to be a priest. I thought he was, but then it just, you know, it's a different lifestyle, and it's scary, and I just wasn't sure. And then I got this vision, and I knew for certain that God was revealing to me the future, that one day I would be a priest for God. And a mere 25 years later, my fault, not God's fault, the vision unfolded exactly as it had predicted. God speaks through dreams and visions, sometimes to reveal the future to us. And in these premonitions, there can be promises of great blessings to come. An example of that would be the ancient patriarch Jacob, you know, the father of the Israelite nation. He had a very famous dream. You've probably heard of it. One night he dreamed that there was a stairway leading up into heaven, or a ladder leading up into heaven. And then he heard God's voice tell him this: "Know that I am with you, and I will protect you wherever you go." See, Jacob was on the run from his brother Esau, who wanted to kill him. So God says, "I will protect you wherever you go, and I will lead you back into this land, back to your land. And I will never leave you until I have done all that I promised you." What a great promise and blessing for the future. But sometimes these dreams and visions that may reveal the future to us also have another purpose, a little more disturbing purpose. They can warn us about dangers ahead, or times in our lives, as seasons of distress that we may be going through, or may soon be going through. And that can be a little unnerving, but God will send these dreams and visions to you to comfort you with the knowledge that it's all part of his plan, and that he is in control, and he will be with you to get you through it. I also had an experience like this. A friend of mine last fall called me out of the blue. And he said, "I have some information to share with you," which instantly made me nervous. Because you see, over the years, my friend had told me that he had had many premonitions about people close to him dying suddenly and unexpectedly. He'd had about a dozen of those, and he had a 100% accuracy rate. And now he was calling me. And he started the conversation this way. He said, "Hey, you told me to let you know if I ever had a premonition about you." I thought to myself, this is not good. This is definitely, definitely not good. So I blurted out, "Am I going to die like suddenly, prematurely, unexpectedly?" And there was a long silence on the other end of the line. A very long silence. Looking back on it, I realized he was just toying with me, you know, like a cat plays with a mouse. He was milking it. Because soon after that, he said, "No, don't worry, you're not going to die unexpectedly. But you are going to go through a period of significant emotional distress." Over what? I don't know. So I talked to him a little bit more, and we eventually ended the phone call, and I sort of forgot about it. But about 2 weeks after that, an anomaly showed up on a medical test of mine. And I'm not going to lie to you, it could have been bad. Real bad. I didn't tell you because I didn't want you to worry. But my doctor said there was about a 50% chance that it was cancer. Well, let me just say that over the few weeks there was some significant emotional distress going on as I was waiting for the biopsy results to come back. Fortunately, I'm okay. And I tell this story, I want to be sensitive because I know it doesn't always turn out that way for everyone. For you or for the people that you love. But for me, in that moment, I was okay. But the point of the story is that my friend, who is a practicing Catholic, church-going, devout Catholic, had this vision about me in the future. And I believe God gave him that vision so that he could share it with me, and I would realize that even though I was going to go through some distress and tough times and worry, that I wasn't going to die and that God was with me through it all. Because it would have been a tragedy if I died, right? I mean, you need me, right? More importantly, I need you. Well, you know, the gospel passage today is really, when you think about it, what is it? It's a vision of the future given to the disciples by God. A vision of the future, right? So Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, his brother, and leads them up a high mountain where they're by themselves. Now, most scholars think that this is Mount Tabor in Israel, which you can visit today if you go to the Holy Land. You can see how steep it is. And because of its steepness, once you get to the top, it's an incredibly beautiful panorama of the Holy Land. It's definitely worth doing. Taxis today take you up to the top of the mountain, but back then, it would have been a very difficult journey by foot. But when they get to the peak, when they get to the summit, Jesus' physical appearance suddenly seems to change. The passage says that his face shone like the sun, and his clothing became white as light. This must have been very strange to the disciples. And by the way, if you want to see a beautiful rendition, more contemporary rendition of the Transfiguration, as you exit the church on your right there, on the right back stained glass window, is our version of the Transfiguration. And you can see how Jesus' clothes became white as light. Well, two other figures showed up there, Moses and Elijah. Why were they there? They were talking to Jesus. It was to show that Jesus' life and everything that was going to happen to him, his death, his resurrection, was all foreshadowed in the Old Testament. It was all planned by God. In the Old Testament, the law was represented by Moses, and the writings of the prophets were represented by Elijah. It was all in God's plan. And then Peter, of course, I love Peter because he's so headstrong and he doesn't always think before he speaks, kind of like me. He goes, Lord, let's just set up three tents here, you know, one for you, one for Elijah, one for Moses, and let's just stay here, you know. And it's kind of silly to think, but that's what you want to do, right? When you're in the presence of God, you want to stay there. But even while he was speaking, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Now, in the Old Testament, a cloud symbolized God's presence. You might remember the ancient Israelites wandering through the desert, and they were led by a pillar of clouds, the presence of God. So we know that God is there, and then all of a sudden, through the clouds, God says, "Beloved, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." The whole experience was designed to encourage the disciples. It was a vision of the future when one day, Jesus Christ would be revealed as the divine Son of God who came to save the world. You see, right before this transfiguration, right before it, Jesus told his disciples that he's going to have to go to Jerusalem. He's going to have to be crucified, and he's going to have to die. And no one wanted to hear that. They were anxious and afraid and in great distress when they heard this. And right after that, Jesus takes them up to the top of the mountain with this vision to say, it's okay. This is really what's going to happen. At the end of the day, God is going to be victorious. And you have nothing to worry about because it's all in God's plan. God's got this. It's the same thing in the first reading today. The ancient prophet Daniel, right? He has a vision, except it comes in a dream. And he sees God on his throne and thousands are ministering to him and myriads upon myriads are attending to him. And then all of a sudden, one like the Son of Man comes upon the cloud and he receives dominion and kingship and glory. And it says that all peoples, nations, and languages will serve him and his kingdom would not be destroyed. Again, it's another vision to comfort Daniel that one day in the future, all people will worship Christ. Dreams and visions, they can reveal the future. And when they do, they can help you and I overcome our fear and anxiety about the unknown, about the times that lay ahead. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about how we can open ourselves more and more to receive these supernatural wonders, dreams, and visions. But for now, stay alert. Stay alert and be on the lookout for these dreams and visions in your life. They do happen more than you realize. After the Transfiguration, as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus told his disciples, don't tell anyone about the vision until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. It was too early. It was not the right time because Jesus had not been resurrected. But that time has now come. That time has come. And it's why Peter says in the first reading that we, in the second reading, that we have received a prophetic message from God that is utterly reliable. And you would do well to be attentive to it. What are these prophetic messages? They can be dreams and visions. So pay attention and be on the lookout and be attentive to God speaking to you in your dreams and in your visions.